So, you have a Batman movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Amazing. George Clooney's gonna be really excited to make another one.
Oh, no.
You don't want a Batman and Robin sequel?
No, I was thinking we could do Batman's origin story, but dark and gritty.
It's a guy that dresses up like a bat to fight crime, though. It's not really the kind of thing we can make dark and gritty.
Of course we can.
How so?
Well, for starters, by casting a very serious British actor with a temper.
Oh, yeah, that is a good start.
Yeah, so anyway, at the beginning of the movie, we're gonna have a young Bruce Wayne fall into a well and get traumatized by bats.
Oh no.
Yeah, he's gonna have nightmares and his dad's gonna be like, "Aw man, it's the bats again, isn't it?"
Oh, poor little Bruce.
Yeah, so then his parents bring him to an opera with just a bunch of bats in it.
Wow, that is pretty inconsiderate.
Yeah, so then he asks if they can leave and both his parents get shot in the alley.
Oh my god.
So as you can imagine, Bruce grows up with fear being a big part of his life.
The fear of guys in alleys with guns?
No, the fear of bats.
Oh, I kinda thought that watching someone murder his parents in an alley would trump the bat thing, but okay.
No, the tiny flying mammals are what spooked him the most.
Well, okay then.
So then a bunch of years later, this guy Ducard wants to recruit him into the League of Shadows so he can be a ninja.
Ninjas? Are you sure this is a dark and gritty film?
Yeah, no, they're like serious ninjas.
If you say so.
So then Bruce and Ducard kinda skate around on an ice rink and play hide and seek together.
Oh, and so then Bruce is a ninja?
Almost, but first Ducard is like, "Hey, execute this criminal real quick."
Oh, these are some serious ninjas.
I know, right? But then Bruce is gonna say, "I'm not gonna be an executioner, you doofus. Get out of here with that nonsense."
So what does he do?
Well, instead of killing the guy, he, you know, makes the entire building explode.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah, he just blows the entire place to hell.
But what if people die?
Oh, they do die.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, the leader, Ra's al Ghul, dies, and a bunch of other guys get ragdolled around. A lot of ninjas die.
So what the hell was that thing about not being an executioner? He just killed a bunch of people.
No, he didn't kill them. The explosion did.
I guess that makes sense.
Anyway, so then he's gonna save Ducard from falling off a cliff and head back to Gotham.
Wow, so he's like a rogue ninja?
Yeah, basically, and he hates crime.
And what does he do in Gotham?
Well, he's gonna embrace his fear and become Batman.
Oh, okay. I guess it's good that his childhood fear wasn't the alleyway murderer guy.
Yeah, or instead of Batman, he would have been Alleyway Murder Man.
Definitely less cool.
So he's gonna go see this guy Fox that works at Wayne Enterprises.
Okay.
And it turns out that Fox has a bunch of cool superhero gadgets lying around that he's been working on because of reasons.
That's very convenient for his plan of becoming a superhero.
Yeah, so Bruce is gonna get a cool costume and a bunch of gadgets.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, he's gonna get some cool explosive things.
And what does he use those for?
He's gonna throw them at some cops that are chasing him and make their car flip.
What? That could have easily killed them.
Yeah, but it's not gonna.
Right, but he couldn't have known that. If a car flips, there's a good chance that someone could die.
But nobody's gonna be killed, so it's okay.
Okay, man.
Batman's also gonna become friends with this cop, Jim Gordon.
Okay.
And they're gonna have these little chats together throughout the movie.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, like Gordon's gonna put out the trash at home and Batman is just waiting outside for him.
Wait, so Bruce was just hanging out outside waiting?
Yeah, I guess so.
What if the trash hadn't been full that night?
Well, maybe he knew that their garbage was gonna be full that night, you know? He is the world's greatest detective.
But that would mean he's been keeping tabs on how full their garbage can is, like on a daily basis.
I guess so.
What if Gordon's wife had put out the trash?
Well, he must have known that Jim's the one to put out the trash.
Wow, Batman must have spent a lot of time watching over their trash habits.
Yeah, must have. Anyway, he's also gonna do this thing where he disappears mid-conversation.
Why would he do that?
Because it's mysterious.
It's rude and inconsiderate.
But also mysterious.
Yeah, I guess.
And we're gonna have Bruce reconnect with his childhood crush, Rachel.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, and they're gonna reminisce about how they always used to steal condensed milk from Alfred.
Condensed milk?
Yeah.
Can we maybe change that to candy or something?
No, you remember when you were a kid and you'd always be like, "Mother, could I please have some sweet, sweet condensed milk?" And she'd be all like, "Not until you've brushed Mother's hair, not until you've brushed it well."
Oh, I think you might have had a weird childhood.
Oh, did I? Dang it, that explains some stuff.
Anyway, what are the other characters in the movie?
Well, there's this guy, Jonathan Crane, aka Scarecrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he has this fear gas that makes it go crazy and super scared of stuff.
Wow.
And Rachel is an attorney now, and she's getting real suspicious of him.
Oh, so what does he do?
He shows her that they've been dumping fear poison into Gotham's water supply for weeks.
Why would he show her that?
So we could see it.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And we're gonna learn that this stuff gets activated when water evaporates, so the plan is to use targeted microwaves to do that.
Wait, but you said they've been dumping this stuff in the water for weeks.
Yeah, pretty evil, right?
I mean, yeah, but hasn't anyone boiled water or made tea or had a hot shower?
I guess not, no, not in several weeks.
Wow, people in Gotham must stink.
Probably.
Very stinky citizens.
We're also gonna learn that Ducard was the real Ra's al Ghul the whole time.
Oh, so not the one that Batman murdered?
No, that was a fake one.
Right.
And he wants to take the big microwave on a train ride to Wayne Tower and vaporize has all the water.
Oh, well, that's not very nice.
Nope, and some of the stuff is gonna get released and people are gonna get all scared and crazy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and Rachel's gonna run into this kid that Batman had a moment with earlier on in the film.
Oh, what are the odds of that?
Well, what are the odds of anything?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I guess that's a satisfying answer.
And then that Scarecrow guy is gonna pop out and attack them.
Oh, man, it's gonna be hard for Rachel and a child to take on a Batman villain.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's gonna be scared for a second, but then she's gonna, you know, tase him in the goddamn face.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he freaks out. His horse freaks out.
His horse?
Did I not mention he's on a horse? He's on a horse.
Oh, attacking people while on horseback is tight.
Yeah, it is.
So what happens next?
Well, the plan is for Gordon to use the Batmobile to shoot down the train tracks and stop Ra's al Ghul from getting to Wayne Tower.
Oh, sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, and so then, you know, he does that.
Oh, well, great.
And so Batman jumps onto the train to fight Ra's al Ghul.
Wait, why isn't it over? I mean, the train's gonna crash.
Well, he wants to fight him.
Well, okay then.
So then they're gonna fight a little bit, and Batman's gonna be like, I'm not gonna kill you, but I don't have to save you.
Okay.
And so he jumps off the train, and Ra's al Ghul dies.
Pretty sure that's still manslaughter.
Yeah, but it's not murder.
No, not as much as the stuff he did earlier.
So Batman's a good guy.
If you say so.
So what do you think of the dark and gritty Batman?
Well, it sounds like a good idea, but I think we should balance out the darkness with some jokes here and there, you know?
You think so? Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, I don't know why, I just have this bad feeling about going too dark with it.
I mean, what could go wrong with that, though?
So, you have a Venom script for me?
Yes, sir, I do, and it's gonna be a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're gonna have Venom biting heads off and massacring people left and right.
Wow, well, as long as we don't see any of that, that sounds awesome.
Wait, what?
Well, we want that PG-13 rating, so we can have him bite people's heads off, but we can't see it happen.
So we can do it if we don't do it?
Yeah, exactly. We can just cut away and imply that something violent happened.
Oh, that's gonna be significantly less satisfying to watch.
Well, our hands are tied. We need that PG-13 rating if we want to make money off a comic book movie.
Well, I mean, what about Deadpool and Logan and Deadpool 2?
What about them?
Well, they were R-rated comic book movies and they made a ton of money. Can't we learn anything from their success?
Well, here's the thing about learning. It's for nerds, and I hate doing it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way.
So what kind of tone and genre were you thinking for this movie?
Oh, all of them.
All of them?
Yeah. Sometimes it's gonna play like a horror movie, and other times a superhero movie, and other times a buddy comedy. We're just gonna be all over the place.
I guess it's good to cover lots of ground.
Yeah, if somebody isn't enjoying a certain part of the movie, they just have to wait a couple of minutes, and it'll switch to a different genre.
That's pretty innovative, actually. So what happens in the movie?
Well, we're gonna have some symbiotes land on Earth, right?
I think it's pronounced symbiote. Actually.
It definitely isn't.
Well, how about we have them pronounce it symbiote in the trailer and see how people react?
I guarantee that they'll be angry.
Don't you mean that they'll buy angry?
I don't. That's not how that's pronounced either.
Listen, as long as people go out and be a bunch of Venom merchandise, I don't care how they feel.
Fair enough. So anyway, these symbiotes land in Malaysia and they're taken by the Life Foundation, but one of them escapes.
Oh, is it Venom?
No, it's a symbiote called Riot that's eventually gonna latch on to the bad guy, Carlton Drake.
Oh, what's Carlton Drake's deal?
I just told you, he's a bad guy.
Oh, that's as deep as it goes.
Pretty much.
But what kind of stuff does he do? Like, give me an example of a scene.
Well, at one point he's with some kids that are touring his lab and they start laughing at this one girl because she asked him a question.
Okay.
And Drake has this big speech about how it's important to ask questions and you shouldn't silence people that do it.
Wow, so what does she finally ask as a question?
I don't know, he's gonna leave right after his speech and she's not gonna get to ask him one.
Very harsh.
Oh yeah, so anyway, after the symbiotes land on Earth, I had a lot of legwork to do to get everybody where they need to be for the fun to start.
What do you mean?
Well, like the Venom symbiote's in a secure lab now, right? But the whole movie's about Eddie Brock as Venom, so I had to get him into the lab somehow.
Okay.
So what I did was have one of Drake's scientists reach out to Eddie. And she's like, yo, Carlton Drake is doing tests on homeless people. You have to come to the lab and take some pictures, unemployed journalist Eddie Brock.
Why doesn't she just take the pictures herself?
Way too dangerous.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, so she goes the much safer route of breaking into the lab in the middle of the night with an unauthorized individual so he can take the pictures.
Much safer.
And yeah, so that's how the Venom symbiote latches onto Eddie Brock.
And what about Riot?
Oh, well, Riot latches onto this old lady in Malaysia and wanders around aimlessly for 6 months.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah, spends half a year as an old lady, then goes to the airport and latches onto a little girl who's going to San Francisco.
What a weird strategy.
Yeah, and then as the little girl, he walks right into the secure lab that doesn't have any security, thank god.
How'd the little girl get to the lab? Did she take an Uber?
Maybe her parents dropped her off, I don't know.
Well, okay then.
And so yeah, then Riot latches onto Carlton Drake.
Wow, that really is a lot of legwork.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff is definitely gonna be the least fun part of the movie, but Venom has to break out of the lab somehow, and Riot has to get to the lab somehow, so I didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, you could have switched them.
What?
You could have had Venom be the symbiote that escaped at the beginning and have Riot go to the lab, which is where he needs to end up anyway.
Wow, yeah, no, that would have saved about 45 minutes of crap and made the whole thing a lot more fun to watch.
I mean, you could still change it. We haven't started to shoot yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like it, though.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, sounds like a whole lot of work.
So anyway, what else happens in the movie?
Oh, well, Drake's gonna want to capture Eddie alive since Venom latched onto him, right?
So what does he do?
Well, what would you do if your secret science thing escaped and you wanted to capture it alive?
Something very low-key, I guess.
Wrong. You'd send a fleet of exploding drones after him as he does crazy motorcycle stunts.
Feels like that would not only kill him, but cause a lot of property damage and attract a lot of attention.
It's gonna make for some really cool trailer shots, though.
Oh, well, that's what really matters, so okay.
And then at a certain point, Eddie's gonna get separated from Venom.
Uh-oh. Is it gonna buy hard for him to get reattached?
No, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Venom's gonna latch onto a dog and then onto Eddie's girlfriend, and then she's gonna have to make out with him to transfer the symbiote.
Wait, does that mean she had to make out with the dog?
You're goddamn right.
Oh.
Anyway, so then we're gonna have this big nighttime fight between Venom and Riot.
We're gonna have two super dark aliens fighting at nighttime?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's gonna buy kinda hard to see what's happening.
Oh yeah, super hard to see. It's gonna be like watching two people wearing garbage bags fighting by candlelight. It's gonna be like, who's who and what's going on?
Sounds exciting.
And at the end of the movie, we're gonna have a scene where Venom and Eddie tease a bad guy before biting his head off.
Oh, nice. I'm gonna put that in the trailer.
Oh, well, it's like the last scene, so maybe we shouldn't.
If there's one thing people want to see in a movie trailer, it's the final scene of the movie.
Well, okay then. So Venom basically says he's gonna bite this guy's head and limbs off, and he's gonna roll down the street like a turd in the wind.
Oh, turds in the wind are tight.
How do you already have an opinion on turds in the wind?
My cat's litter box is right next to a fan.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So how do you think the movie's gonna do?
Well, there's a Lady Gaga Bradley Cooper movie coming out that same weekend in October, so I'm a little worried.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so let's hope that turd in the wind line really resonates with people.
Fingers crossed. So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's called The Hunger Games, and it's based on a book series where a bunch of kids are forced into, like, a battle royale to the death.
Oh, that sounds a lot like that movie Battle Royale.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay, my bad.
So, basically, there are 12 districts, and a boy and a girl are chosen from each of them, and they have to go fight to the death in The Hunger Games.
Why are they called The Hunger Games?
Well, there's not really any food in the district, so, by the way, the actors are gonna have to look skinny and malnourished and, well, hungry.
Okay, and would you settle for having beautiful, well-fed actors that are in terrific shape?
Yeah, that works.
Great.
So anyway, the main girl, Katniss, gives her little sister, Primrose, a pin, and she's like, nothing bad can happen to you when you have this.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it is. So then Prim immediately gets her name chosen in the death lottery.
That pin didn't work at all.
Not even a little bit. So then Katniss steps up, and she's like, I volunteer as tribute so my sister doesn't die.
Very nice moment.
Yeah, so then Primrose gives her the pin back, you know? She's like, looks like you're gonna need this.
That pin that she just had the worst luck with?
That's the one.
I guess that's a nice moment.
And then this guy, PETA, is also gonna get chosen.
Oh, and what's his deal?
Well, he really likes Katniss, but so does this other guy, Gale.
Wait, are you saying this is based on a popular book series and there's a teenage love triangle?
That's right.
Oh my god, we are so gonna snatch up that Twilight crowd.
Yeah, we are.
I love it.
So anyway, then Katniss and PETA are gonna meet their mentor, this guy, Haymitch.
Oh, and what's his deal?
Well, he won the Hunger Games back in the day and he's an alcoholic now.
Oh, is that gonna be problematic?
No, he's just gonna be an alcoholic in, like, the first scene.
Oh, then he gets over it?
Pretty much immediately, yes.
Well, good for him.
Anyway, he tells them that they need to be likable because sponsors can airdrop supplies during the game.
Oh, interesting.
So they get set up with this guy, Cinna, who's in charge of wardrobes and whatnot.
Okay.
And he's like, I think you guys should ride into the opening ceremony on fire.
How does he plan on doing that?
Well, he shows them this flame, right? And he's like, this isn't real fire and these suits are made so you won't feel a thing.
Wait, so is it fake fire or is the suit fireproof?
Yes.
Well, okay then.
So then they have to train for the games and they meet all the other tributes from the other districts.
Wow, it's gonna be hard to deal with the emotionality of that, you know? Meeting all these other kids that were chosen as tributes, knowing Katniss has to kill them?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, pretty much all the other tributes are straight up evil.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they were raised to do the game, so they're real into murder.
Wow, okay, that takes a lot of the pressure off of us having to deal with any ethical dilemmas.
Exactly.
Well, great, that sounds hard.
So then they need to get evaluated and get the attention of the sponsors.
Okay.
So Katniss shoots the apple out of the mouth of a roast pig they're enjoying.
They're within firing range of the tributes without any protection?
That's right.
Oh, very irresponsible.
So anyway, then the Hunger Games start and Katniss runs away real fast.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's gonna get nuts. Kids killing kids super violently.
It's gotta be PG-13 though.
Kids killing kids off screen with a lot of shaky cam.
There it is. Now the whole family can enjoy the child murders.
Very smart. And sometimes we'll cut away to the
these flamboyant announcers that are doing a play-by-play for a cheering crowd.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, it's gonna really highlight how horrible these people are for getting enjoyment out of watching kids kill each other.
Isn't that what people who come watch this movie are gonna be doing?
Yeah, but that's different.
Oh, so?
Because we'll be making money off of this.
Oh, okay, so that makes it good.
Exactly.
So what else happens?
Well, at a certain point, Katniss wanders too far, and so the Game Masters force her back to the action by setting the forest on fire.
Oh my god, isn't the forest fire gonna kill everyone?
No, they just put it out once she ends up where they want her to be.
They can instantly put out fire?
Yeah, because of vague technology.
Oh, neat.
And we're gonna see that PETA joined an alliance of bad guys as a way to stay alive.
Oh, they don't kill him?
Well, they say they're only keeping him alive because he'll help them track down Katniss faster.
They trust the guy that's in love with her that he's gonna help them find her?
That's what we're going with. So then they do find her and she climbs up a tree.
So they climb up the tree too?
No, the main guy Kato tries, but he falls.
So does he, you know, try again?
He does not, and nobody else does either.
Oh, instantly abandoning strategies is tight.
And then they try shooting arrows at her a couple of times, but that doesn't work either.
So they change angles and, you know, try again?
No, they give up on that too, right away.
Oh, they give up on things so fast.
Yeah, and so then they start a fire.
Oh, that's very smart. They want to burn down the tree and kill Katniss.
No, they just start a fire so they can settle in for the night.
What?
Yeah, because PETA's like, guys, let's just go to bed and kill her in the morning.
Don't they kill PETA? They said they were just using him to find Katniss.
Yeah, no, they don't kill him. They listen to his idea.
Wow.
Anyway, so then all the bad guys fall asleep, right?
They don't leave anyone awake standing guard?
They do not. And so Katniss manages to drop some crazy poison wasps on them, but she gets stung too.
Oh, so what happens to her?
Well, she passes out and wakes up a couple of days later being taken care of by this little girl, Rue.
Wait, so the Game Master started a forest fire because she was too far from the action, but then they let her sleep for several days?
That's right.
And what's up with the announcers? Do they just work 24 hours a day as all this stuff is happening?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So anyway, then Katniss is gonna blow up the enemy's food by shooting a bag of apples, which then fall on some mines.
Oh, this girl loves shooting arrows at apples.
Yeah, it's definitely the fruit that moves the plot forward the most in the movie.
Wow.
But then this kid kills Rue, and so Katniss kills him. It's gonna be really sad.
Yikes, two children dying, that's super sad.
No, only one of the deaths is sad. The other child was a bad child.
Oh, okay.
So then Katniss finds PETA, and he's just perfectly camouflaged as a rock.
What? How did he manage that?
Well, he used to decorate cakes in a bakery, so...
Did he decorate them as rocks?
I guess so.
Oh, very weird cake orders.
So then the Game Masters are like, okay, you know what? Two tributes can win if they're from the same district, because Katniss and PETA are pretending like they're in love.
Okay.
And then they release a bunch of violent dogs as, like, the finale, and PETA and Katniss manage to get them to kill Kato.
Oh, so they win?
Well, they have to threaten a double suicide with some berries first. Actually, berries are very important, too, now that I think of it.
What? What's going on?
Well, they win.
That's great, and so what happens with Gale?
Oh, stay tuned.
Stay tuned?
Yeah, this is a book series, remember? That's all gonna come later.
Oh, wow, yeah. So how many books are there in this series?
Three.
Okay, that's too bad.
What's wrong?
Well, I was kinda hoping we'd get more than three movies out of this franchise.
Well, we could always go with the Twilight and Harry Potter strategy.
Oh, yeah, very true. So, you have a Batman movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And I thought instead of that dark gothic look from the last two movies, we could change things up and make it super bright and colorful and neon.
Oh, what made you want to change that?
I went to a rave recently and I can't stop thinking about it.
Well, okay then. This is definitely a good place to get that weird energy out of your system.
I also had some thoughts about some costume changes we could make.
You know what? You could just take that up with the wardrobe people. I don't need to approve every little thing.
You sure?
Yeah, I mean, unless it's something insane.
No, I mean, it's pretty straightforward stuff, I think. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Well then, yeah, no, I'm sure that's fine.
Great. So at the beginning of the movie, Two-Face is trying to kill Batman.
Oh, what's his problem with Batman?
Well, in court one day, a mob guy threw acid in his face, and so Two-Face is mad at Batman because he was there and he didn't stop it, I guess.
What, was Batman just sitting in court?
Yeah, I guess so, I don't know. The point is, Two-Face is crazy now and he's obsessed with killing Batman.
But why?
Because I said so.
Fair enough.
So Two-Face, the whole movie, he's trying to kill Batman and he keeps failing.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, at a certain point, he's chasing Batman, and Batman drives up the side of a building.
Wow, how does he get back down?
Unclear.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so eventually, Bruce Wayne is gonna meet one of his employees, Edward Nygma, who's, like, obsessed with him, right?
Okay.
And he wants to work with Bruce on some brainwave manipulation technology, but Bruce says no, so he just goes insane.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he just loses his mind, because that's how we show that people are evil in these movies.
Mental health issues, of course.
So he starts sending these riddles to Bruce Wayne.
Oh, so he's the Riddler now?
now.
Actually, no, he doesn't decide on becoming the Riddler until like 40 minutes later. He was already sending riddles before being the Riddler?
Yeah.
Well, okay then.
We're also gonna have a new love interest for Bruce Wayne in this movie. She's a psychologist named Chase Meridian.
And what does she do in the movie?
Well, she flirts with Batman a whole lot. She uses the bat signal as a booty call.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and when he shows up, she's just all over him. I mean, she really wants to sleep with Batman.
And how does he react to that?
Well, he says stuff like, it's the car, right? Chicks love the car.
Oh.
And he also says, are you trying to get under my cape, doctor?
Wow.
And when he gets in his car and drives off, he's like,
women.
Well, that all sounds like dialogue that Batman should definitely say.
I agree, so he's gonna.
Perfect. So Bruce is gonna bring these riddles he's receiving to Chase, and she's gonna be like, well, whoever made these is obsessed with you.
Oh, so he makes the connection to the obsessive Edward Nigma guy he met just a few days before? He doesn't, no. Isn't he supposed to be the world's greatest detective?
Yeah, well, it's much easier for me to write a story if he doesn't figure out super obvious things right away.
That makes sense.
So anyway, Bruce brings Chase to the circus, and the Riddler is watching the whole thing unfold on the news.
Oh, that reminds me, did you catch the live broadcast of the circus on the news last night?
Of course, I never miss a live broadcast of the circus on the news. That's a normal and regular thing that happens.
It's perfectly normal.
I know it is, that's why it's in the script.
Well, good.
So anyway, Two-Face and his goons bust in, and they're like, you guys gotta tell us who Batman is, or we're gonna blow this whole place up.
Oh, so what does Bruce do?
Well, he yells, I'm Batman, but nobody hears him because the crowd's too loud.
Not even Chase, who's sitting right next to him?
That's what we're going with. So he just starts kicking butts all over the place.
And nobody makes the connection that this billionaire is suddenly doing public kung fu?
They don't, no. And then this acrobat family, the Graysons, they save the day.
Oh, great.
But they all die except for the youngest one.
Oh, bummer. What's his name?
Dick.
Hey, screw you, buddy.
No. That's his name. His name is Dick Grayson.
No, I know.
Oh, okay. So anyway, Bruce feels bad, so he adopts him.
Oh, so he's a child?
No, he's very clearly in his 20s.
So Batman adopts a fully grown adult man?
He sure does, sir. And let me tell you, this grown man, he does laundry like a martial arts master.
Oh, what the hell are you talking about?
And he's eventually gonna find out that Bruce is Batman, and he becomes Robin.
Wow, how does he find out that Bruce is Batman?
Well, he stumbles into the Batcave, and he sees everything.
There's no security system in place down there?
There is a security system, actually. It says the word intruder out loud, and then puts all of Batman's stuff on display.
Oh, a very useless security system.
Yeah, it's pretty useless. So then Two-Face and the Riddler team up.
And what's their plan?
Well, they put a bunch of Riddler's brainwave devices in everybody's homes, and Riddler starts to, like, absorb everybody's intelligence.
Oh, very rude. I had a guy do that to me once. It wasn't pleasant, but I enjoy cartoons a lot more now.
Well, great. So eventually, Two-Face and Riddler break into Wayne Manor, and they just destroy a bunch of stuff, and they kidnap Chase, and they shoot Bruce in the frickin' face.
Oh my god, they kill Batman?
No, they just shoot him in the face, which knocks him unconscious.
Oh, okay, but wouldn't Two-Face just shoot him again while he's unconscious?
No, because the Riddler tells him not to.
But that's literally been his one motivation the whole movie.
Right, but the movie's not done yet.
Oh, okay.
So then Batman and Robin go to try to save Chase and stop the bad guys.
I love it.
And Robin fights Two-Face and wants to kill him for revenge, but then he doesn't because Batman told him not to.
Very mature.
Yeah, so then he gets kidnapped too.
Oh, that didn't work out.
Not really, no. And so then Batman ends up in this situation where Riddler's like, hey, here are two people you care about. You can only save one of them.
Man, it's gonna be tough for Batman to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just tosses a batarang at this big glass thing that controls Riddler's brain waves, and then it fries his brain.
Riddler decided to confront Batman under a big breakable thing that's the source of his brain power?
He sure did, yeah.
Wow.
So then Batman saves the people he cares about, but then Two-Face pops out.
Uh-oh, so what does Batman do?
Well, Two-Face flips his little coin that he likes to flip, but Batman tosses a bunch of coins in the air, and so Two-Face falls to his death.
What about that whole we shouldn't kill people thing?
Yeah, no, see, the message is that murder is not an okay thing, but if you do something that leads to someone accidentally taking their own life, that's fine.
Oh, educational messages are tight. Kids are gonna learn a lot from this.
Yeah, and so Riddler goes crazy, right? And he can't even remember that Bruce is Batman, so his secret identity is safe.
Well, great.
Yeah. I mean, except for Sugar and Spice, Two-Face's two girlfriends who were around the whole time and saw everything and are still alive.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. So what do you think?
Well, I think it sounds like a very different direction for Batman, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, seeing Michael Keaton as Batman again is gonna make everybody happy.
Right, I mean, that's if he agrees to do it.
I mean, once he reads the scripts, I don't see why he'd say no.
No, that's a good point. You're right.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's called Ready Player One, and it's based on a book about a VR game.
Oh, a little part of that sentence was boring. You're starting to lose me.
The book part?
Bleh.
Well, don't worry. It's absolutely packed with pop culture references.
Oh, thank God. I was like, what is this, school?
Yeah, and actually, whenever I feel like I might be losing people, I throw in a pop culture reference to distract them.
Is that actually gonna work? Because it feels like at a certain point, it's just gonna become clear that
we're... Hey, remember Freddy Krueger?
Oh, yeah, I remember Freddy Krueger. That's awesome.
Well, he's gonna be in here.
Oh, pop culture references are tight.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
Oh well. Anyway, so the movie takes place in the future and everybody plays this big VR game called The Oasis.
Okay.
And one of the game's creators, Halliday, died and hid 3 Easter eggs in it. And the first person to find them all gets to run the whole game.
Pretty reckless thing to do with your company.
Super reckless. And the main guy, Wade, wants to find all the Easter eggs before this corporation, IOI, does.
Oh, tell me more about IOI.
Oh, well, the head of IOI is this guy, Nolan Sorrento, and all he cares about is money.
Oh, I like this guy.
Oh, well, no, actually, he's the bad guy.
How so?
He wants to run the Oasis so he can fill it up with advertisements and product placements.
He's a bad guy because he wants to include product placements?
Pretty evil, right?
You do realize we're gonna have a bunch of product placements in this very movie, right?
Yeah, it's okay when we do it.
Oh, okay, good. So if IOI are the bad guys because they want to use the Oasis to make money, does that mean that the Oasis currently doesn't make money?
Oh, no, it definitely does. It makes trillions of dollars.
So why is it bad for IOI to want to use the Oasis to make a profit if the Oasis is already making a profit off of people?
Hey, you know Batman?
Oh yeah, I know Batman. Why? What's up with Batman?
We're gonna reference Batman in this movie.
Oh, that's amazing. Batman is tight.
What was I talking about?
No idea.
Oh, okay. So how do people actually play this VR game?
Inconsistently.
What? Yeah, some people play it on a treadmill, some people just sit in chairs, other people run around in the streets blindly.
Oh.
Also, sometimes you'll get flipped upside down, other times you could do karate kicks, I don't know.
Feels like we should have some consistency with how the game actually works.
Oh, but I don't wanna.
Oh, okay, never mind.
So anyway, people have been stuck on this race challenge for like 5 years trying to find the first key.
Okay.
And Wade's gonna figure out that there's a secret passage in the race if you just go backwards.
You're telling me that in 5 years, no one ever tried to go backwards?
Yeah.
Aren't gamers notorious for digging through video game levels and searching everywhere for hidden details and passages?
They are.
And in 5 years, nobody has tried going backwards.
That's what we're going with. So now Wade has his character's name up on this big scoreboard.
Oh, why is there a scoreboard?
To keep track of the score.
What score, though? Isn't it just a matter of finding the keys first?
Yes. And then Wade becomes famous and buys himself a cool new suit.
In the game?
No, in the real world.
What?
Yeah, and this new suit lets him feel everything. Like, he can feel pain now.
Why would you want to feel pain? That's a massive disadvantage.
Well, the bad guy has one too. At a certain point, he's gonna get kicked in the balls.
His suit lets him virtually get kicked in the balls and feel the pain in real life.
It does. So anyway, we're also gonna have Wade fall in love with another Easter egg hunter named Olivia.
Oh, why do they fall in love?
Because they're the main characters.
Gotcha.
And we're gonna have this cool scene where Wade and Olivia are dancing and IOI busts in and starts shooting at them and they have to try to not be killed.
So this happens in the real world then?
No, this is in the Oasis.
So couldn't they just remove their VR masks and not be in danger anymore?
Yeah, but they're not going to.
Why not?
Because it's an action scene.
But they don't have to be in danger at all. They can just unplug.
Hey, you know The Shining?
Yeah, I know The Shining.
We're gonna show a bunch of stuff from The Shining in this movie.
Wow, I love it.
Anyway, so in the real world, Olivia's gonna have Wade brought over to where she lives, and she's gonna be like, "Welcome to the Rebellion."
Oh, tell me more about the Rebellion.
I can't, that's the last time we reference it.
Oh.
And then Olivia's gonna get captured by IOI and put in a little prison pod thing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so Wade and his friends are like, "First things first, we need to go save Olivia, then we need to get the last key before IOI does."
Wouldn't it make more sense to find the key first?
Yeah, but they don't want to do that.
Oh, so it's because they absolutely need her help in the virtual world?
No, in fact, Wade is gonna kill her in the virtual world himself.
What?
Yeah, but in the real world, they are gonna help her get out of her pod.
Oh, is that hard to do?
No, it's super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like a lever inside the pod, and she pulls on that, and it opens up.
That is convenient.
So anyway, eventually, Wade finds the last Easter egg and gets to talk to Halliday.
Okay.
And Halliday's big message is that sometimes you need to disconnect and go out in the real world.
If that was really what he wanted, wouldn't it make more sense for him to hide the Easter eggs in the real world?
What?
His plan basically ensures that people are gonna spend more time in the game. If he wanted people to go in the real world, he should have done something involving that.
Hey, remember the Iron Giant?
Of course I remember the Iron Giant.
In this movie, too.
That is so cool. What were we talking about?
I don't know. So anyway, Wade gets to take control of the Oasis, and he's like, new rule, everybody. It's gonna be shut down on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
What about people who can only play on Tuesdays and Thursdays?
Screw them.
Very harsh.
So what do you think?
Well, I really like that it's full of pop culture references, so I say let's make this thing.
Awesome. So is this like a top priority, or?
Oh, absolutely. We're gonna get this done ASAP.
Amazing.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we could make a Star Trek movie.
Oh, interesting. Is it like a reboot or a sequel or a prequel?
Yes.
I love it. So what happens in this thing?
Well, at the start of the movie, we're gonna see some spaceships being attacked, right?
Okay.
And we're gonna meet this guy, George Kirk, whose wife is about to give birth to a little baby James.
Oh, and what's this George Kirk guy like? Like, who should we cast?
I don't know why, but I'm imagining somebody that would look really good holding, like, a big magical hammer.
That's extremely specific. I'll see what I can do.
So anyway, these good guy ships are being attacked by this bad guy, Nero, and George's ship loses its autopilot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he has to stay on board and pilot the thing. There's no other way.
Yeah, for sure. So what does he do?
Well, he programs the ship onto a collision course with the bad guys, and then he kind of sits back in his chair.
Wait, he programs it on a collision course, and then he's able to sit back and not do anything?
That's right. He sits down to let it happen.
That kind of sounds like autopilot. He should probably leave.
Oh, whoops.
Whoopsie.
Anyway, so he dies.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah, so then a couple years later, we're gonna meet a young James Kirk.
Oh, and what's he up to?
Well, he steals his stepdad's car and drives it into a canyon, but jumps out at the last second and hangs on from a cliff.
Very cool. So what does the scene have to do with everything?
Absolutely nothing, but it's gonna look cool in the trailer and let people know it's an origin movie.
Well, okay then.
Then we're gonna meet a young Spock and he has some bullies surrounding him.
Oh, space bullies.
Yeah, and he's gonna be like, this is your 35th attempt to get an emotional response from me.
Very stoic.
But then they make fun of the fact that he has a human mother and he just loses it.
They bullied him 35 times and never tried a yo mama joke?
That's right.
Oh, uncreative space bullies are tight.
So anyway, now that we've established that both main characters were once children, we can move on.
Yeah, great. I guess it'll be helpful moving forward to know that these were once children and they weren't born fully grown men.
For sure. So then adult Kirk gets into a bar fight with some Starfleet guys, right?
Okay.
And then this Captain Pike dude is like, I knew your dad. You should enlist in Starfleet, you violent drunk. Let's do this thing.
So what does Kirk do?
Well, he takes a look at the Enterprise, which it just so happens is being built, like, in his backyard, and that seems to convince him to enlist. He gets on the ship the next morning.
He just gets on board. There's no paperwork or screening or anything?
Apparently not. You just get on the ship and you're in.
Well, okay then.
So a couple years later, Kirk is at the academy, right? And he has to pass this test called the Kobayashi Maru, which is just like impossible to beat.
Oh, sounds like it's gonna be impossible to beat.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, he just modifies the test so that he can win, but then he gets in trouble for doing that.
That makes sense. It doesn't sound like it's allowed.
Yeah, so he has to go to like this hearing thing, and then it turns out that Spock is the one who designed the test so people can experience fear.
Why would anyone experience fear in a test they know is impossible to beat?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
But then before anything too serious can happen to Kirk, there's like a big emergency and everybody has to rush to go help.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and Kirk's friend Bones manages to sneak him onto the Enterprise, right? So he's like, wait, we're headed towards a big lightning storm. The last time that happened was that big famous event where my dad died.
Nobody made that connection.
Nobody made that connection. So then it turns out he was right.
Right.
So Captain Pike is like, well, I gotta go on this enemy ship now. So Spock, your captain, and Kirk, your first officer.
Even though he wasn't even supposed to be there?
Even though he wasn't even supposed to be there, because he was right about a thing, so he's qualified now.
Wow, 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 wow.
Anyway, so that bad guy Nero and his Romulan dudes are digging this big drill into the planet Vulcan, right?
Oh, why are they doing that?
Well, because they want to drop this red matter stuff into the planet's core, because that could, like, cause a black hole.
Wouldn't a black hole be just as effective on the surface of a planet?
Yeah, maybe, but this way the good guy characters have some time to do some heroic stuff.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So they gotta take down this drill because I decided, right?
Oh, so they shoot it down?
No, they can't do that.
How come?
Because that's not exciting enough.
Fair enough.
You know, they gotta parachute down and fight some dudes.
Much more exciting, yeah.
But even though they stop the drill, the bad guys drop some red matter anyway, and they destroy Vulcan and kill Spock's mom.
Oh no.
Then Spock and Kirk get into this big argument, so Spock has to deal with them.
So he, like, puts him in a cell for insubordination?
No, he puts him in a space pod and shoots him off onto a dangerous ice planet.
Oh my god, why would he do that?
Because I need him to do that for for the movie.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So Kirk immediately gets attacked by this big monster thing, and so he runs into a cave, and that's where he meets an old Spock that traveled back in time.
What?
Pretty cool, right?
On the surface of an entire planet, Kirk just happens to walk into the cave where a time-traveling Spock is hanging out.
That's what we're going with.
That works for me.
And so time-travel Spock drops a bunch of exposition on him. He's like, yeah, I tried to save Nero's planet in the future with some red matter, but then it didn't work, and he got mad, and he got sent back in time, and so did I, but there was a difference of like 25 years for some reason, and so he's all mad, and he wants to blow up a bunch of planets.
So Nero got sent back in time on what just happened to be Kirk's birthday?
That's right.
And he got sent back to before his planet was ever destroyed?
That's right.
And then he just hangs out for like 25 years?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And if at any moment in those 25 years he happened to find out what the date was, there would be no conflict in the movie whatsoever?
Yeah, pretty much. If Nero found out what year it was, he can go stop the thing that he's mad about happening, because it hasn't happened yet.
Well, maybe on the DVD we can have an alternate ending where Nero just looks at a calendar and solves everything.
Maybe.
So what else happens?
Well, Spock takes Kirk to this Federation outpost just a little walk from his cave.
Spock's been hanging out within walking distance of an outpost and he didn't warn anyone about the Romulans?
Right, because he's not the main character, so he can't go to places unless he's with the main character.
That makes sense.
So it turns out there's this dude Scotty who works there, and in the future he figures out how to do transwarp beaming.
Okay.
And so old Spock is like, well, here's your equation for that, and then he beams him and Kirk onto the Enterprise.
Wow, well thank God everything Kirk needed was within walking distance of the spot he was shot on a random ice planet.
Yeah, it all worked out extremely well.
So then what happens?
Well, Kirk goes to see Spock like, your mom is dead, aren't you angry? And Spock is like, I am angry actually, and so he has to step down as captain.
Very mean.
So then Kirk becomes captain and they go defeat Nero with some red matter and a black hole and space things.
Wait, so do black holes destroy things or send them back in time?
They do whatever, literally anything I want.
Well, okay then.
And so then there's this fun little ceremony where they make Kirk the actual captain of the Enterprise for good.
Feels like he didn't really earn that. He wasn't even out of the academy.
Well, actually, he was brave for a day, and that's apparently all it takes.
Oh, that's how that works. Okay.
So what do you think?
Well, I mean, it sounds like a fun thrill ride of a movie.
Yeah, you think so?
And I mean, if this kind of action-packed sci-fi modern revival thing works out, who knows what kind of changes that could lead to in the industry.
So, you have a Star Wars sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So in the opening text crawl, we're gonna find out that Palpatine is alive again, and he sent out a transmission to everybody.
Oh, Palpatine is back? How is that possible?
Well, the dark side is a pathway to many abilities some would consider unnatural.
Oh, very vague. What does that mean?
It means get all the way off my back about this and don't bring it up again.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
So it turns out he was pulling the strings this whole time, like he created Snoke.
Seriously?
Yep, we didn't see him because he was in a basement with strobe lights.
It's so strange that we never hinted at this at all whatsoever in any way.
Yeah, pretty crazy, but this was always the plan.
Was it though?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't start a trilogy without a roadmap, you know? I didn't do that.
Well, okay then. So what happens in this thing?
Well, you know how in The Last Jedi we found out that Rey's parents are nobody?
Right, yeah, between that and the broom kid, it seemed like maybe we were going for like a hopeful message, like the Force can be with anyone, you don't have to be related.
Well, it turns out that Rey is Palpatine's granddaughter.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
So that means that Palpatine has gotten, you know, intimate.
Oh my god, yeah, no, I guess it does. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, I'm picturing it.
So am I, and I hate it.
Do it.
Oh, he for sure said that.
Okay, maybe we can move on.
I would literally love nothing more. So what happens in the movie?
Well, the good guys want to get to Palpatine, but to do that, they need to get a thing.
Okay.
But to get that thing, they're gonna have to go to a place and get another thing, and go to another place and get another thing.
Okay, kinda sounds like a lot of fetch quests, like in a video game.
Well, people love video games.
That's a good point. Video games make money, so where do they go?
Well, they go to Burning Man and they meet Lando Calrissian, remember?
He's from the other movies.
He is, and he's like, I have a bad feeling about this.
He says the thing?
He says it, and then the good guys are gonna get chased by stormtroopers and end up in a tunnel.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
Actually, it is, because they find a dagger that's a clue to the exact thing they're looking for.
Oh, wow, what are the odds of ending up in that exact spot after a chase?
Astronomical, but this is space, so that's okay.
Can't argue with that.
So anyway, then Rey heals a giant snake, and they get out of there.
She heals a snake? What are you talking about?
Well, you can heal people and animals by giving giving them some life force or something, I decided.
Oh, suddenly deciding that the Force can do things is tight.
It is. So anyway, this dagger has Sith writing on it that only C-3PO can understand, but he can't translate.
Why?
Because of his programming.
But actually, why?
To extend the plot a little.
Okay, gotcha.
So they need to go to this other planet to translate it, but Chewie gets captured.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he's being taken away on a ship, but Rey accidentally blows it up.
Oh my god, she kills Chewbacca? That's such a powerful, shocking moment. I can't believe it.
Well, that's good, because it doesn't actually happen.
What?
Well, I want this film to have impactful moments, but I don't really want to deal with the actual impact, so I'll usually, you know, undo them immediately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Chewbacca blows up, but it turns out he was on another ship, so it's okay.
Okay.
C-3PO has his memory wiped and has to say bye to his friends, but R2 has a backup, so it's okay.
Wow.
Rey stabs Kylo Ren, but then heals him, so it's okay.
Could have been an interesting one.
A planet blows up, but the characters we know get off it somehow, so it's okay.
Wow, so not really many consequences at all.
Well, when Luke said no one's ever really gone in the last movie, I really took that to heart as, you know, a storytelling device.
Yeah, sure seems that way.
Yeah, so both Luke and Han are gonna come hang out a bit too.
Sure, why not?
So anyway, then they're gonna go to another planet to meet a Power Ranger that Poe used to date and a little alien dude named Babu Frick.
Oh, what's his deal?
Oh, well, he's just the cutest little merchandising opportunity.
I love it.
So then they go rescue Chewie and they get helped by Hux because it turns out he's a spy now.
Oh, interesting. It'll be cool to see how that plays out through the movie.
Oh no, he dies right away.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, well, see, in The Last Jedi, we turned him into a little baby boy, so I had to replace him with somebody in intimidating.
If you say so.
I do. So then the good guys go to another planet and discover that the dagger points at a thing they need to get to go to a place.
What, the dagger tells them where to go?
Yeah, it turns out that somebody made this thing, so if you stand in a very specific spot and point it at the Death Star wreckage, it shows you where you need to go.
And they just happen to be standing in that specific spot?
And they just happen to be standing in that specific spot.
Wow, 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 wow.
So then Rey finds this GPS thing that she needs, but then she's confronted by an evil version of herself for about 10 seconds.
What? Why does that happen?
So we can show it in the trailer.
That's smart.
So then Rey and Kylo Ren have a fight and Finn is also there for some reason.
Oh yeah, what's Finn up to in this movie?
Well, he's gonna be there, for sure.
That sounds good to me.
He's also gonna meet some other ex-stormtroopers that defected too.
Oh, that's good, driving home the fact that stormtroopers are like real people, you know?
Exactly, and Finn's also gonna kill a bunch of stormtroopers.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's pretty good at it now.
But I guess he has no choice, right? So it's like a somber moment when he has to do it.
I don't know, he shouts woo a lot when he kills them.
Wow, I don't know how this guy feels about stormtroopers.
Clear, sir. He also has a big secret he's about to tell Rey when he thinks they're gonna die.
Oh, what is it?
I don't know.
Fair enough. And what about Rose?
What about her?
Well, I mean, she was a major player in the last movie. Her and Finn kissed at the end of it.
Right, yeah, but she has to study, so.
She has to study?
Yeah, I mean, she would have gone on the adventure, but she has, like, a lot of studying to do.
Well, okay then. And what about Maz Kanata? Are we gonna get answers?
Answers about what?
Well, in The Force Awakens, Han asked how she got Luke's lightsaber, and she was like, good question for another time.
Oh, yeah, well, that is a good question for sure.
Yeah.
But like, probably best for another time.
Did you forget to pay that off?
I forgot to pay that off.
That's okay, it happens. I mean, a lot.
So anyway, then Rey's gonna go confront Palpatine on this planet called Exegol.
Okay.
And the Resistance are gonna fight a massive fleet of Star Destroyers.
How did Palpatine build so many Star Destroyers and staff them?
By being off screen for several movies.
That works for me. So what ends up happening on Testicle?
Exegol.
What did I say?
Well, Palpatine is like, you know, Rey, if you kill me, my spirit's gonna take over your body.
I guess that can be a thing.
And then Ben shows up and Palpatine's like, ooh, a Force Dyad.
A Force Dyad?
A Force Dyad. So then he turns into a Dementor and starts sucking the life out of them.
So stuff is just kinda happening, huh?
Stuff's just kinda happening. So then he throws Ben off a cliff thing.
Uh-oh.
And then everything's just going awful. I mean, there are way too many enemies in the space battle.
Oh man, it's gonna be tough for the Resistance to win now.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, just when it seems like all hope is lost, Falcon's gonna be like, on your left, and a bunch of heroes show up.
What?
Sorry, Lando's gonna be like, we're here, and a bunch of heroes show up.
Oh, very cool.
And then Palpatine's gonna use lightning to attack Rey, and he's gonna be like, I am all the Sith.
Wow, 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 wow.
And then Tony's gonna be like, and I am Iron Man.
What?
Sorry, Rey's gonna be like, and I am all the Jedi.
I love it.
Yeah, and so he's shooting lightning at her, and she's blocking it with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're struggling, but then she uses two lightsabers, and that does the trick. He gets hit with his own lightning.
Couldn't he have just stopped shooting the lightning?
Yeah, but he doesn't. That's kind of his thing.
It does seem to be. That guy zaps himself a lot.
So then Rey dies.
Oh, okay.
But then it turns out Ben isn't dead, because falling off of things doesn't really mean anything in Star Wars.
Right.
And then he transfers some life force to Rey so she wakes up.
Wow. They should kiss.
What?
They should have a little kissy kiss.
Oh, I don't really know that there was like a romantic...
Make them kiss.
Okay, yeah. So they kiss and then he dies.
Oh, he dies.
Well, yeah. He transferred the last of his life force to her.
Oh, so she can like transfer it back to him now?
Well, yeah, but she doesn't.
Oh, savage.
So then all the good guys are gonna have a big party.
Very fun.
And Lando and this ex-stormtrooper girl talk about how she doesn't know where she's from, and he's gonna be like, well, let's find out.
Wait, what does that mean?
Unclear, sir. Either a spin-off adventure, or he's gonna hook up with somebody 55 years younger than him.
Wow, well, that's either exciting or gross.
Potentially both. So what do you think overall?
Well, it sounds great, but one thing's kind of bugging me.
What's that, sir?
Well, you said that Palpatine, like, transmits a message. I just wish we could hear what it was.
Oh, yeah, I actually had a pretty cool idea about that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Have you heard of Fortnite?
What? So you have that Avengers Infinity War script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And this one's all about a guy named Thanos who's trying to gather Infinity Stones.
Oh, what's he like?
Well, let's just say if Bruce Willis was a Pokemon, this is probably what he'd evolve into.
Ooh, scary.
Yeah, this movie's gonna get real dark.
Sounds like stuff is getting serious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll still have time for a quick, lighthearted Ben & Jerry's commercial, right?
Oh, Ben & Jerry's? Yeah, for sure.
Okay, great, because I already cashed that check. I actually threw in a fair amount of jokes to balance out the darker moments.
Keeping that Marvel vibe to it, what kind of jokes are we talking?
Well, I had this idea that maybe some characters call other ones by names that aren't their real names, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, that'll be a lot of the jokes.
I'm not sure I get it.
Well, like, Tony calls this bad guy Ebony Maw Squidward.
Okay, yeah, I guess that's funny.
And Thor calls Rocket Rabbit.
Yeah, okay, he's not a rabbit.
And Tony calls Star-Lord Mr. Lord.
Uh-huh.
And he also calls him Flash Gordon.
Right.
And Thor calls Groot Tree.
All that character says is his own name.
And Star-Lord calls Thanos Grimace.
So you're, like, really leaning into this name thing.
And Spider-Man's gonna think that Doctor Strange is a made-up name.
Are people gonna notice that so many of the jokes are based on character names?
I don't think so, unless some jerk on the internet points it out.
Well, okay then. So tell me more about Thanos.
You mean Pokemon Bruce Willis?
Please stop making name jokes.
That's not his real name.
That's not his real name, yeah, I get the joke.
Well, Pokemon Bruce Willis thinks that there aren't enough resources to go around, so he wants to destroy half of all life in the universe.
Oh, wow. Does that include, like, plants and animals?
I don't know, probably not, because those are natural resources.
What if there are planets where there are just plants and animals?
I don't know, maybe half of them die in those cases?
What if there's a planet where there's, like, a million animals and one dude?
I don't know.
Would half the animals die, or would half that dude die?
I don't know.
Would his left side just go limp or something?
I mean, I'm hoping people don't think about Thanos' plan this much. It's just something he wants to do real bad.
Okay.
It's more of a shut your brain off and enjoy kind of thing.
Done and done.
Anyway, Gamora's like, well, Thanos can't get the Soul Stone because I'm the only one who knows where it is.
Okay, so she goes into hiding?
No, she goes directly to him.
What?
I mean, she tells Star-Lord to kill her if Thanos manages to grab her.
Still, that seems pretty irresponsible.
Oh yeah, very much so.
Huh.
And Thanos has the Reality Stone, so he easily grabs Gamora from the Guardians.
What does he use the Reality Stone for?
More bubbles than you'd expect.
Oh, bubbles are tight.
But essentially, he can make whatever he wants become reality, so like Drax and Mantis turn into Slinkies and stuff.
Well, that's game over, right? If he could turn everyone into Slinkies, that's game over.
Yeah, he can literally alter reality.
Wow.
But he's not really gonna do it that much.
Oh, why not?
Because.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So is Doctor Strange gonna use the Time Stone to save the day, like at the end of his movie?
No, he's not.
How come?
Because.
Fair enough.
Yeah, here's the thing. Based on the powers we've established for everybody, there's probably a lot of ways they could bring down Thanos.
Yeah, it feels like fans are gonna point all of those out online.
That's right, and that's why I included a scene I like to call Shut the Hell Up, Everyone.
Oh, I like the sound of that. What is it?
We're gonna have Doctor Strange look into the future and say that out of 14 million outcomes, he only sees them winning one.
Oh, very smart.
Yeah, so anytime someone online tries to criticize the movie,
somebody else will chime in like, well, it probably had to happen that way because that's the only way Doctor Strange saw them winning.
Exactly.
Shut the hell up, everyone.
There you go.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, some of the characters blast a hole in a ship and Ebony Maw goes flying out into space.
But then he flies back like Mary Poppins?
No, I thought of that, but then I was like, this isn't Star Wars.
Bummer.
Sorry.
So what do they do about the hole in the spaceship?
Well, Iron Man closes it up because he has this cool new thing where his suit is like basically magic.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it fixes up holes in spaceships and morphs into whatever he needs in any given situation, and it closes up massive stab wounds.
How is that possible?
Nanotechnology.
Yeah, but what does that mean exactly?
Nanotechnology.
But how exactly?
Nanotechnology. I don't know.
Okay, nanotechnology. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So what do some of the other characters do in the movie? Like, what's up with Captain America?
Oh, he has a beard now.
That's it?
Pretty much.
What about Black Panther?
He goes, Yabombe!
Black Widow?
She's gonna have this little moment where she's surprised to see that Bruce is back back on Earth, even though he's the one who called them.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
She's also gonna be part of a lady fight where all the women team up to fight the female antagonist.
That's progressive, right?
Maybe.
What about Winter Soldier?
He has a new arm and he picks up a raccoon.
Hawkeye?
Not even in it.
Ant-Man?
Nah.
I gotta say, it feels like a lot of characters are getting sidelined.
Well, you asked me to shove 75 main characters into a single movie, you sick bastard.
I did do that.
I haven't slept since 2015 and I hate you so much.
Hey, throw that Tyrion Lannister dude in there. I like him.
Please stop. Please stop.
Alright, so you're gonna have everybody fight a big generic army of bad guys?
That wouldn't be an Avengers movie without that.
So what's this army gonna look like?
Well, picture what it would look like if Venom took over Goro from Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
So yeah, like a million Venom Goros.
Very cool, and how do the heroes end up stopping Thanos?
Oh, they don't.
What?
Yeah, no, he's gonna get all the stones and erase half of all life in the universe.
But it's gonna be hard to wrap up a movie if the bad guy wins.
Actually, super easy. Barely an in-
Oh, you're disappearing. Okay, and you're gone.
Okay, that doesn't feel satisfying at all.
I mean, I know you're gonna come back because we have a bunch of other meetings planned. And there it is. Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
So, you have an Avengers Endgame script for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Oh my god.
Yeah, very exciting. So we're gonna start off with Hawkeye with his family, but they all get dusted.
Oh my god.
And then we go up into space and check in on Tony and Nebula.
Oh my god, oh my god.
Do you think you could stop saying oh my god?
Sorry, I'm just so excited.
That's okay. So anyway, it seems like Tony is about to die because he's out of oxygen and food.
Oh my god.
Sir?
Sorry.
But then Captain Marvel shows up and saves him because she's working with the Avengers now.
Oh, Captain Marvel, huh? So we're gonna show her meeting them and stuff?
No, I mean, we already had the post-credit scene in Infinity War and the post-credit scene in Captain Marvel, so I feel like people know how she got there.
But what if people haven't seen those movies? I'm just kidding. This is the world's most expensive TV show. It's not our fault if people haven't seen the last episodes.
Oh, okay, yeah, good joke, sir.
So then what happens?
Well, they find out what planet Thanos is on, and he looks a lot more like Shrek than he used to.
Oh, people like Shrek.
And so the Avengers show up, and they're like, where are the stones? And he's like, oh yeah, no, I destroyed those.
Oh, that's not good.
Nope, it's not, and so then Thor, you know, chops his head off.
He does what now?
He cuts Thanos' head off and it rolls off into the corner and he's dead.
Well, I'm surprised this turned out to be a very short movie. We are gonna save a ton of money, though.
Oh no, it's not done.
But Thanos is dead.
Yeah, we're gonna fade to black and the words 5 years later appear on the screen.
What?
Yeah, 5 years have passed, and everybody's super sad and depressed because all their friends are still dead.
Listen, it's extremely important to me to quote Backstreet Boys as little as possible in my day-to-day life, but I'm gonna need you to quit playing games with my heart.
Why is that extremely important to you?
Just, okay, what happens next?
Well, Captain Marvel's gonna be like, I'm very busy now, and peace out.
Pretty rude.
And then a rat is gonna set Ant-Man free from the Quantum Realm, which is gonna be the key to saving everyone.
Oh, life-saving rats are tight.
Yeah, so it turns out Ant-Man was in the Quantum Realm for 5 years, but to him it felt like 5 hours.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so he goes to see the Avengers, and he's like, hey, time is weird, right? Maybe that's something we can look into?
Okay.
So they go see Tony, but he has a daughter now, and he's like, time travel's impossible, and this is dumb, and no thank you.
Oh, Tony has a daughter.
Yeah, she's real adorable. She tells him, I love you 3000.
Oh, does she think he's the lead singer of Outkast?
No, it's just a cute thing she says.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so Tony's gonna end up changing his mind about helping them, so then he has to figure out time travel.
But he says it's impossible. That's gonna be hard to do.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just tries something after doing the dishes, and it works immediately.
Well, great.
So then the Avengers have to get the rest of the team together.
Oh, very exciting.
Yeah, so they go get Thor, but he's fat now.
Oh, you just opened up a whole new world for cosplayers.
Yeah, I did, and Tony's gonna call him the Big Lebowski.
That movie starring Jeff Bridges?
That's the one.
Jeff Bridges, who also starred in Iron Man?
That's the one. Oh, damn it.
I mean, it's fine. Let's just try not to mention too many real-world movies.
Okay, well, we'll keep it to a minimum. Just a couple of other references to, like, Back to the Future and Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine starring Sebastian Stan?
Ah, dang it.
It's bound to happen. We love pop culture references, but we have all the famous people in these things.
Yeah, we do.
So anyway, they have Thor, and I guess they wait for Captain Marvel to come back.
No, she's busy.
Yeah, but can't they, like, wait for her to make contact? Seems like she'd be good to have around.
She's extremely busy. She has no time for this.
I mean, okay.
So anyway, the plan is to go into the past and get Infinity Stones.
Oh, time heist.
But the thing is, they have a very limited number of Pym particles, so they have one shot to get this right.
Why don't they go back in time and steal some more particles?
I mean, yeah, eventually they do.
Why don't they do that, you know, right away?
Because then the stakes wouldn't be so high, and also they just want to get started right away.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, then they break off into teams and explore a bunch of old Marvel movies.
Oh. know. It's like fan service the movie.
Exactly. It's gonna be great. Like, Rocket and Thor are gonna go to Asgard.
Very exciting.
Which actually reminds me, we are gonna have to get Natalie Portman back.
Oh, what do you need her for?
I need her to take a nap.
I mean, it's gonna be the world's most expensive nap, but okay.
Great. So yeah, they have to steal the reality stone from inside her by poking her with a pokey thing.
Okay.
And some other Avengers are gonna go to the Battle of New York.
Right, there should be three stones in New York at that time.
Exactly. But then Loki's gonna manage to grab the Tesseract and disappear.
Oh, where does he go?
Into a spin-off TV show.
Fantastic.
Also, Black Widow and Hawkeye go to Vormir, so they have to do that whole sacrifice that which you love thing for the Soul Stone.
Oh.
Yeah, and so Black Widow dies.
Well, thank God the team happened to send two Avengers that love each other.
It is a pretty convenient coincidence.
So what else happens?
Well, Iron Man is gonna build a gauntlet, and Hulk is gonna snap his fingers and bring everyone back.
Oh, wow.
But it turns out that Thanos knows about the plan because past Nebula's face projector is connected to the same Wi-Fi network as present Nebula.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so they just bombed the hell out of the Avengers facility. I mean, this thing turns into a crater.
Oh, boy, is everyone okay?
Yeah, no, everyone's fine.
Yeah, I thought they might be.
But then Thanos is waiting outside, and he wants the stones because he has a new plan in mind.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he's like, well, now I see that my 50% decimation thing didn't work, so I'm just gonna kill everyone and start fresh.
Oh, so you took the well-developed villain from Infinity War and turned him into Apocalypse from the last X-Men movie?
Pretty much, yeah. Everything they've built will fall and all that.
Interesting move.
Yeah, so then it's time for a big final fight. Things are gonna get real.
Oh boy.
But first, Thor uses lightning to braid his beard real quick.
What?
And then the fighting begins.
Oh boy.
So it's gonna be this awesome showdown. Like, Cap is gonna use Mjolnir.
Wow.
And then there's just Cap barely standing up, but he's facing down Thanos' army.
Oh, there's gonna be a big disposable CGI army?
Of course, this is an Avengers movie.
I love it.
And just when it seems like all hope is lost, Doctor Strange opens up a portal and Black Panther walks through.
Oh, Black Panther, huh? What does he do?
He goes, Bombay.
Oh, he loves saying that.
Yeah, and then all the heroes are gonna have these slow, dramatic entrances through all the portals.
Wow, nice of Thanos to not attack as everyone enters.
Yeah, he definitely lets them have a moment.
Very considerate.
So then it's gonna be a massive fight. It's gonna be like, boom, 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 pow, pow, pow.
That sounds great. I like the sound of that.
And while all the fighting is happening, they need to get the gauntlet into this time travel van to put all the stones back in their proper places.
Okay.
And at a certain point, all the female heroes are gonna land in the same spot to protect the gauntlet.
Wow, that's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be badass.
I bet it will. Why did they do that, though?
To protect the gauntlet.
Right, okay, but why did all the female heroes land in the same spot at the same time? Did they plan that, like, through their communicators?
No, of course not. That's silly.
So it's a coincidence, then? It just so happens that all the female characters and only the female characters all did that simultaneously?
I mean, I wouldn't call it a coincidence, either.
Don't get me wrong, it sounds awesome. I'm just trying to understand how and why something like that would happen on a massive battlefield.
Well, here's the thing. It's gonna be a very cool scene, so I need you to get all the way off my back about the logistics.
Oh, okay, I'll do that.
Great. So anyway, then Captain Marvel and the gang have to get this gauntlet to the van.
Captain Marvel has the gauntlet? Why doesn't she put it on and turn all the bad guys to dust?
Because.
Fair enough.
And then Thanos is gonna end up getting his hands on the gauntlet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and then Doctor Strange looks at Tony and does this.
So he's telling him that it's time for that, Ant-Man and Thanos' butt theory?
Oh my god, no. He's telling Tony this is the 1 in 14 million chance.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So Tony manages to grab all the stones without Thanos noticing.
So the stones give you a huge surge of power when you put them on, but when you take them off, there's no noticeable difference?
That's what we're going with.
Huh.
So then Tony snaps his fingers and turns all the bad guys to dust.
And how does that work exactly? Like, how does Tony know what to do? Like, what does he do?
He just thinks really hard that he wants all the bad guys dead and then snaps his fingers.
So it has the same kind of mental logistics as like a birthday wish?
No, it's not at all like a birthday wish.
Well,
he just has to hope for it really hard and Doctor Strange couldn't tell him or it wouldn't come true.
That sounds like a birthday wish.
It's not a birthday wish.
A little bit.
Anyway, so then Tony dies.
Oh, very sad.
And then Captain America has to travel back and put all the stones in the exact times and places they were taken from.
Oh, so he has to go to Asgard and stab Natalie Portman with a thing?
Yeah, I guess so.
And he has to go to Vormir and have a weird conversation with Red Skull and ask for directions to the kiddie pool where you get the Soul Stone?
I guess he has to do that too.
Very uncomfortable situation.
Anyway, so instead of coming back through the time machine, Cap decides to live a full life with Peggy Carter, so he ends up super old.
So he just lived a full life while Bucky was out there somewhere getting tortured?
I guess he did.
And when he kisses Sharon Carter, that's like his niece or something? And what about when he goes...
Maybe we can not think about this too much and just enjoy it for what it is.
Oh, okay, that sounds good.
Great, and so that's it, you know, Cap is old, Iron Man is dead.
Yeah. But I mean, we could go visit him whenever with the time machine, right?
I mean, yes, but... You know, let's not do that.
I don't know, it could be a big moneymaker.
Please don't.
I'm just saying, it's possible.
I just think, you know, it'd be nice if character deaths were permanent, you know? It kind of takes away from their sacrifices if they pop up in other stuff.
Okay.
Do you agree?
Yep. Uh-huh. I agree.
So you have the new Jurassic script?
Yeah, so let's start with the title. I know you wanted to go big on this movie, so...
What's a big step up from a park?
I don't know, the world?
Yes, exactly.
That's your title? Jurassic World?
Yep, nope, you guessed it. That's the title. You figured it out.
So the whole world is filled with dinosaurs? That might be a little too big.
No, it's not the whole world. It's a fully operational theme park.
Oh, so the park is up and running.
Exactly. And since it is a theme park, I thought maybe that could be a natural way to incorporate some product placement if you want.
Perfect, because I already have a couple of those lined up.
Oh, like what?
Oh, just a couple, like Beats by Dre, Starbucks, Converse, American Airlines, Coca-Cola, Samsung, Pandora, Margaritaville, Hilton, Triumph, Verizon Wireless, Columbia, Nissan, Nike, Oakley, IWC, Ben & Jerry's, Brookstone, IMAX, Mike & Ike, and like a crap load of Mercedes. Like if we could get a solid minute or two of Mercedes logos up on the screen, that would be awesome.
Oh, okay.
Too much?
Tell you what, I'll just have a character crack a joke about product placement.
That way people can't complain.
Exactly, so now it's like a self-aware joke.
I love it. So what's the story about?
Well, the park's been open a while, so people are bored of dinosaurs.
People are bored of dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's the angle we're going with. So one of the main characters, Money Lady.
Wait, Money Lady?
Oh yeah, a lot of these characters just have like one defining characteristic, so I didn't really bother with names.
They should have names.
Okay, Claire?
That works.
So Claire and her team develop a genetically modified dinosaur to attract new people.
Genetically modified?
Oh yeah, this thing is nuts. It has T-Rex genes.
Wow.
And raptor genes.
Scary.
And snake genes. And tree frog genes.
What?
And cuttlefish genes.
Okay, this sounds like too many genes.
No, see, having a lot of genes meant I can make the dinosaur do whatever I needed it to do for the plot.
Oh, smart. What can it do?
Well, it's able to set up distractions. It can control its body temperature to hide from thermal detection, which it knows about and understands. It can also detect thermal radiation, which it uses to hunt. It can also camouflage itself, and also it kills for sport, and it knows that there's a tracker inside of it, and it's able to remove it.
Wait, how does it know what a tracker is?
I don't know, maybe it has genes from like a tactical system specialist from the FBI or something.
What?
SEAL Team 6 genes, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that it's a very smart, borderline magical monster.
Okay, so if this thing has all those abilities, it must be impossible for people to hide from it.
Actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, well, it can't really see, so...
It can do all those things, but it can't see?
Exactly, so if they just kind of stay still, it has a hard time finding them.
That's very convenient.
Super convenient. It works several times.
So I'm guessing this thing gets out of its cage?
It does.
And so Claire evacuates the park?
Kind of. Eventually.
Eventually? Not right away?
No, because evacuating the park would be bad for business.
Oh, so she's the villain. She's like the bad guy of the movie.
Nope, she's one of the two leads.
And people are supposed to empathize with her?
I was thinking maybe you could cast someone really pretty so people won't notice she's a terrible person.
Oh, yeah, true. I could totally do that.
Awesome.
So how close do people get to danger before she realizes she has to do something?
Oh, a lot of people die.
They do?
Oh, well, the dinosaur kills a couple of people when it escapes right off the bat.
And she doesn't evacuate the park.
No, she sends more people after it.
And they report back to her how dangerous it is, and she calls for the evacuation.
No, they all die too.
And then she calls for the evacuation.
No, because money and business, remember?
Right. Wow. She really likes business.
Yes, very much, but animal-loving Navy guy gets mad at her.
Animal-loving Navy guy.
Oh, let's call him Owen.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a badass that lives on the island, and his whole thing is that dinosaurs are animals.
Oh, he cares about them.
A lot. He gets super sad when they die, he raises raptors himself, he feeds them. He just treats them like animals, and he really, really loves animals.
What does he feed the raptors?
Oh, animals. Pigs, rats, goats, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Anyway, so he tells Claire that they have to evacuate because a bunch of people have died, and she's like, leave, get out.
Because business?
Because business, exactly. But then Claire suddenly remembers that her two nephews are on the island.
And she loves them a lot?
She spends no time with them and doesn't know how old they are.
Oh.
And the last time she even referenced them in the movie, she was getting guilted into hanging out with them by their mother.
It almost sounds like she just doesn't want to get in trouble if they die.
Kinda seems like that, yeah. So she tracks down Owen to help her.
She kicks him out for trying to save all the guests, and then she's like, come help me save two guests.
Exactly. Then a bunch of pterodactyls get out and start killing people.
Please tell me they call for an evacuation now.
Yeah, they start, but it's like way too late at this point.
Too late, so people die.
A lot of people die, yeah, the park is packed.
But I thought the whole thing was that business wasn't going so hot, like that's why they made the dinosaur.
Yeah, but I think the image of dinosaurs going on a murder spree in a crowd of 20,000 people is pretty cool.
That does sound cool.
Yeah, and Claire's assistant, this British lady named Zara, gets tossed around by pterodactyls like she was a ragdoll and shoved into the water and then eaten by a giant dinosaur shark, and it's super scary and she dies.
Jesus, what does she do to deserve that?
Nothing, I guess.
Wasn't your ex-girlfriend a British woman named Zara?
I mean, I don't see what that has to do with anything.
Okay.
Anyway, so then Claire and Owen kiss in the middle of this big attack.
What? Why?
Oh, well, they're both attractive, so they're in love now.
Right? Makes sense. So what happens next?
Well, there was this dude the whole movie that wanted to use dinosaurs in the military.
What?
I don't know.
That's a little far-fetched, isn't it?
I know, but I had a dream where a guy was on a motorcycle next to some raptors.
Ooh.
Right? And this is the only story thread I could think of to get us there.
Fair enough. Okay, go on.
So because everything's going crazy, this guy takes control and he's like, let's weaponize the raptors.
I know.
So then they do that, but it doesn't work because they imprint on the dinosaur, and then there's a big fight between raptors and the new dinosaur and the old T-Rex from the first movie, and then the bad dinosaur gets eaten by the same shark thing as my ex-girlfriend.
But what about the dinosaurs left standing?
They kind of give each other knowing nods and go their separate ways.
They don't try to kill each other?
No, they have an understanding now. Maybe dinosaurs did that. I don't know. I did no research.
Wow.
So what do you think?
It's something.
You don't like it?
I think there's a lot of wacky stuff in there.
Right.
And characters that people won't really connect with.
Okay.
But it does have two very important things.
What's that?
Hot people and dinosaur attacks.
Do you think that'll be enough to get people to buy tickets?
Well, we'll just have to try and see.